When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 1002 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by James Dean Rader. This is his flu game. He has been Theragunning and stretching and doing all sorts of exotic poses in order to unlock his neck.
I'm going to get tough, though. Tough podcast soon.
And nothing else. And we have Tyler Meisinger. He was locked out of the building because he loses things. And we have Ben Funky Askren, who just has to go downstairs to do this show, so it's a lot less complicated.
Oh, baby.
How are you?
Yes, not as complicated. I rarely have issues. I'm doing good.
Rarely. On occasion, I can't really find my basement, but for the most
part. Once in a while, the internet goes out or, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah, once in a while, it's like, wait, in this giant palace of a home, where did we put the basement?
No, my internet's actually right down here by I'm hardwired in. I don't know if you guys remember you suggested that when I started FRL. I don't use a Wi-Fi connection. I hardwire in. So if the internet goes out, then I'm screwed. Yeah. But it's only happened like 3 times in 5 years probably.
Yes. And it's crazy. Tyler just walked off the set again. If you can cut to Tyler's camera quick. Look, he left already. Uh-oh. I can't Where'd believe he this. He's coming back. Oh no!
I was shutting a door.
No, I was about to ask him to do that, but instead of thanking him, I decided to embarrass him. So Tyler's back. We're ready to start the show. It's state championship season. Ben Askren's headed up to – where did they have those?
Madison.
Yeah. Just have them at Culver's. Oh, yeah.
They have them at Culver's Arena?
Because it's actually Culver's Arena. You know that,
Is it Katie? Really?
I did not know that.
No, I made that up.
Oh, my gosh.
I believe it.
If you had said that, I'd be like, oh, that is so cool.
It is kind of surprising they don't have a Culver's Arena anywhere in Wisconsin yet. To my knowledge, I've never heard of it, but Culver's is popular. They should get a Culver's Arena.
Everywhere should have a Culver's Arena. I love Culver's. I had never had it till I went to we went to the Dells for cadet trials there. And then ever since.
There's no Culver's in Texas yet?
Oh, there are. Now we go.
Okay.
I didn't know what they were, though. But now I know. So go. This is free Culver's.
Cheese curds and custards.
Yeah.
When we were
they're considering sponsoring the podcast.
Yeah, we're in talks. So this is a little freebie for my friends at Culver's.
We were in Missouri for a duel, the Oklahoma State one, and me and Spey, and I did a little follow along with Keegan and Mako, and they were both saying that their vice is Culver's.
That's wow.
You know, they have a thing called the cement mixer. It's their version of the Blizzard.
So it's still kind of training because you're visualizing.
That's right.
Move while you're eating. Those are some real bad boys, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking. There is one. It looks like there's one in Pflugerville, Christian.
Yeah. Oh, we've been there. We've been there.
No, you know about this one.
Yeah. We know about it. Right there off 79.
Nice.
You keep going, you end up in Hutto and Braytown and Kozak Town.
Braytown.
Yeah. Hippo Land. Nice. Okay. Well, yeah. All right. Ben wants to rage about something. I'm not sure if it's a little early. We got good vibes. Maybe not a rage yet. Maybe we'll tease the rage.
No, I love raging.
I know. He called me raging.
I was annoyed. Listen, I don't ever read the comments on Facebook, and I read raging. The comments.
Rage mode activated.
I read
Go
the
ahead.
Comments. You know, because I thought, hey, these wrestling people, they're smart, they're reasonable, and they're obviously going to agree with this take because there's no good reason to disagree with this take. But so many people are like, oh, my God, if you take away potential dangers, everyone's going to die. Like, dude, that is not what's going to happen. And so let's just be clear. I did say for adults, but I think it could kind of extend to most age groups. I mean, we don't have potential dangers in the high school practice room. And how often do I actually stop something? Like, maybe once a day, tops, right, with all the things going on.
Yeah.
But the argument I brought up to you, Christian, was I think this is pretty obvious. There's actually this sport called jiu-jitsu, right, where you actually try to submit someone. You try to make them be in enough pain where they're going to tap out and they can no longer continue. And in high-level jiu-jitsu, they get good at defending things, so you can't even make them tap out. So you cannot even injure. You're attempting to injure someone, and you can't injure them, right? You're trying to break their arm or choke them. Now, in wrestling, that obviously would not be the point of the match, and there would still obviously be illegal holds and stalemates. There would be these other things, right, that we could use. But the notion that people are just going to get hurt all the time when they realize they can't be saved by potentially dangerous is just so foolish. That's just not what's going to happen at all. People are going to figure out how to wrestle out of these situations, and they're probably going to figure out how to not be in these situations very often. And we will be in a situation where we're not watching referees save people when they don't need to be saved.
Yeah. When you think about it, potentially dangerous makes the legal illegal, right?
Correct. Yes.
That doesn't make sense in a sport. So, yeah, I'm kind
of. If I could add on, I think that maybe, Ben, like an unforeseen result of no potentially dangerous could actually be less injuries because people know they're not going to get saved and they're going to be more reluctant to wrestle in those positions. That's kind of predictive.
No, I think you're 100% right, Tyler. I think they're going to take some ownership for their own actions because I will tell you, with scrambling, in 2002, when I went to college, I hurt my knees like 3 times in the first 3 months. And I thought, man, these things I'm doing are kind of dangerous. I kind of need to figure out how to not hurt myself. And so I actually started thinking about what ways can I move that will not hurt myself and what ways am I moving that will hurt myself and what position, right? Because at that point, no one knew what the hell I was doing. And so I had to figure it out for myself how to not hurt myself because you can move in ways that will be harmful to you. So, yeah, I think people would take it upon themselves to figure out what positions they should and should not be in, and it would save us a whole bunch of hassle.
Yeah. Okay, well said. I'm with you. You think from grades 3 up, no potentially dangerous. You're on your own.
I mean, honestly, it could trickle down, and I really don't see it having a negative effect. I guess the funny thing I was thinking about, if we want to go further into this, is, like, say, submission holds, like, with a leg lock, there's no specified way that you can't hold on to a leg. And so that would be like, I guess, one. But then again, that's not going to score anyone any points, or you might be on your back. So why would someone attempt to do that? I guess you could, explicitly outlaw those type of things if you wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've solved that. I'm sorry.
All the world problems. Hey, you know what the 3-point takedown kind of solves? Which no one predicted this.
Well, okay, go ahead.
We don't need insta-death anymore.
We don't need insta-death.
Yeah, no insta-death. Because what the 3-point takedown made is they made the major kind of close. So no one's just riding the other person just to stay on top, right? Yeah. And that was what was happening all these other years, is they were staying on top forever. I think the insta-death time was 3.5 minutes is what we set it at. Mm-hmm. And now with them having the ability to get a major much easier, no one's doing it. It's really great. I did not foresee that as an outcome. But I'm happy that it is.
No one's even trying to insta-death.
Can you guys explain insta-death?
I'm still team insta-death.
So insta-death is simple. Basically, Ben came up with the idea. He was tired of seeing guys get ridden for 4 minutes and not earning points. Yeah. So he's like, can you imagine? Like, I wish we should find the clip. If you get 3:30 of riding time, the match is over. Trap door. You're just sucked into.
And you get pinpoints.
Yeah. You get pinpoints.
Pinpoints.
That would be incredible.
I think
that would really be. I
still think if we had it, it would be amazing. But it would have solved the problem if a lot of people were riding for long. I feel like we've seen a few times, but it is.
We still don't get the excitement of insta death.
Yeah, you were gonna have it. People chanting
insta death, insta death, insta death.
Yeah,
Iowa Hawkeyes would love insta death. They would just have. They'd have like skulls on a.
Yeah.
Pounding them on the floor. Gong,
gong. Yeah, it could get a really interesting cult vibe going. Yeah, I'm all for insta death. Awesome. You know what else I feel like the 3-point takedown has eliminated, which was sort of an annoying thing, is you have the match where it's one takedown and the guy gets away and they trade escapes. And then the one dude is just trying to push for the stall at the end. And the guy gets like the obligatory late stall calls because the action that happens later in the match gets rewarded in the eyes of the ref. And so you have these weird, like, 2-2 or 3-3 matches, or
three.
It's only one take.
Two escapes and one takedown.
Now you can't do that anymore.
Yes,
I love
that. Yes, it's made a lot of matches that were tie matches not tie matches anymore. Yes. So, That's been a big positive.
It's been good. Okay. I wrote in the doc, I had one, I meant to mention it on FRL 1000 and then 1001. But the number one regret I have, and it's not really a regret because we tried so hard, and by we, I mean Mark Bader. We tried so hard, Ben, to have Wes Roberts on that show. We tracked him down. We reached out to Jack Spates. Oh, Jack Spates got us in touch with Wes Roberts, sort of. But Wes never would, he wouldn't respond to a call, to a text, a nothing. So, I don't know.
To a casual viewer, who is Wes Roberts?
Wes Roberts is the man that Ben Askren could not, bonus point, no matter how hard he tried, no matter what he did.
I tried so hard.
He couldn't.
I tried so hard.
And so anytime Ben gets on these elite wrestlers for not getting a major, I just pull the Wes Roberts card, and I just get like a 3-minute rage out of Ben Askren. It's great. So I wanted him on the show. And I wanted,
for the life of me, I still don't know how I couldn't major him, Christian. I would love to hear what he has to say. But I'm sure other people had strategies too, and none of them worked.
Yeah.
Freaking Wes Roberts.
He had the right one. So, yeah, that was a regret. I mean, he was, and honestly, it, for you guys, when I tweeted, like, hey, who should we have on as a guest? And it was like one of the most popular ones with people saying Wes Roberts. So. We tried to deliver, guys. We couldn't make it happen. But
so you guys, you like, he just wouldn't call back or what?
Literally ghosted in every sense of the word.
That's maybe we funny. Had the wrong phone number.
I don't think so. I mean, yeah. So anyway, no Wes Roberts. But listen, I'll
ben
say
was
this:
scared.
Open invitation to Wes. Even when Ben's not on the show, we'll have Wes Roberts on. And maybe
that would be hilarious.
Maybe Wes Roberts is the new co-host of FRL. Bentley. He's on the short list. All he has to do is return our call, and then he moves up in contention.
Oh my God, you guys are hilarious!
Thank you. Okay. All right. Where to next? What do we have next on the
Iowa
on the,
Oklahoma State?
That's what I have here too. Okay. Iowa Oklahoma State. I cannot wait for this dual meet. If you look up and down this lineup. In the potential matchups, and I think we see Gabe Arnold, and I think we probably see Ben Keeter as well. I think this is going to be a duel with an insane atmosphere where the outcome of the duel is not going to be known for a while into it. Even if one team comes out hot, there are so many matches that I feel are in the balance that this is going to be, it's going to be highly contested. No team's going to be out of it. I think a lot of the matches are going to be in the margins, even matches where you'd say, the Hawks are big favorites. I think they're going to be interesting. Just if you look at the trajectory of, you know, some of the how Real Woods has looked, right? That makes a Tag and Jamison Real Woods match really interesting. Whereas coming into this year, we're not even discussing this match. Spratley versus Ayala after, you know, the last couple of weeks of Drake, you know, that's going to be probably a one takedown match. If you had
it's
going to
be close.
It's going to be close for sure. Who knows with Rachi? Rachi looks better. He's probably had a slightly better year than Jordan Williams or Sammy Alvarez. But
rematch of the 2021 Fargo Finals in which Jordan Williams won.
Late, right?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every match Jordan wins, he wins in dramatic
the Iceman.
Duck under fashion or something.
His crotch lock exposure with 2 seconds.
Yeah.
1 second.
So
yeah, I remember that.
I don't know who they'll throw out there. Alvarez has been pretty interesting this
year. They've been going with Williams this month. Alvarez was the guy for January and they're like 4 duels or whatever, but they've gone with Williams the past 4 or 5 duels. So I would expect to see Williams.
Feels like maybe Williams had an injury issue or something because he didn't wrestle at all for a while there and now he's been back and he's been wrestling every duel.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be fantastic. You know, for me, I'm going to be under the gun because the Texas Youth State Championships are on Sunday. So we got to get it wrapped up.
No way.
It's 2 hours away. I'm going to have to drive a little over the speed limit to get home, hopefully on time, to not miss this duel.
You're going to get home. You're going to finish the state tournament before noon and get home by 2 o'clock?
Starts at 2. Yeah.
2 Central.
Well, Caleb's session starts at 8 a.m.
Okay, so that dang it still only takes that long. Our state tournament's huge. We do two age groups per day.
They do like
it lasts a very long time.
Each session takes like 3 hours. We do it in a huge place. We have that's like 20 mats.
How many mats?
Like 20.
We do 16.
Oh wow, what a joke state. That's pathetic, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I don't think it's probably as many kids show up at U State as we do. We got a big one.
How many do y'all have?
Every bracket's full, four age groups, 24 kids per bracket. I don't know, probably 80 brackets. What's the math on that? 19, 20.
Yeah. So we have on the card here, Texas Youth State Tournament has 2,000.
Shut up.
It's on the card. Anyway. So anyway.
Oh, hey. You know what I got, Christian?
What you got?
Well, I'm leaning carnivore. I'm thinking about going carnivore, but then I got my man Greg Warren's pizzas from Joe Bacardi, and I said, "Listen, Greg Warren sent us these pizzas. I got to try them." But listen, they are significantly better than Emo's. There's no doubt about that. But I can't get down with the Provolone cheese. I don't know. Like I just don't love it.
All right, so a notch above, a frozen pizza is better than restaurant pizza from Emo's. So that's already factual. A dig what? And further validation. But here's the thing. Here's the real problem. Because we were supposed to have some too. And it got sent to you know who. And so I'm wondering. I was like, well, maybe I'll sample them. No. And then next thing you know, I was like, bro, I mean, my friends were over and we accidentally.
I don't talk like that.
That's exactly what you sound
Are
like.
Are you kidding me right
You're
now?
From California.
Hey, Ben, when did you get yours?
Yesterday.
Mm. Well, okay, maybe mine will come today.
Greg said he was looking into it, but then he said, oh, yeah, they were delivered.
Did he actually?
No.
Yeah. Hey, this guy's a liar over here. Can't be trusted.
You're so trickable, though. It's nice because I'm very trickable, as every listener of the show knows. So it's good to have someone else trickable. Ben's kind of trickable, too.
Yeah.
You'll just be believing stuff.
You know, sometimes I'm too trusting sometimes, but sometimes I'm too skeptical. You know, I got to find a nice balance, but I am going to take, I have two more frozen pizzas. All the AWA managers are staying together in Madison. So I'm going to get all their takes. I don't want just my opinion. I'm going to get their opinions also.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. More data. When we have Culver's or not Culver's, man, I got Culver's on the brain. I was going to make a joke about y'all staying in like a Culver's themed inn. But instead, when we're going to eat the pizza live on the show.
Right into the mic.
And we're not going to eat it before. Yeah, we're going to chew on. Those are going to be Provolone cheese and JD's mustache. It's going to be.
Hey, Christian, I just got official numbers from Big Sexy Scott Cleaver.
Yeah.
We had 2,208 wrestlers at the state
That's
tournament.
Crazy. That's crazy. Oh, yeah. I forgot that. We didn't have the novice division. We get 2,600.
Shut up.
It says it on the card. I didn't read down that.
We don't got baby divisions. You got to be, 9 and under, I think, is the youngest division in Wisconsin for state.
Really?
9 and under, 11 under. 9, 11, 13, 15.
Man, we got kids in strollers coming to the mat.
Yeah, that's preposterous.
No, it's good. You got to get that mat time, man.
Do you guys have regional qualifiers? Like, you actually have to qualify? Because we have that also. So there's a whole bunch of people who don't qualify.
You have to qualify for open. So there's rookie, novice, and open. And if you want to do open, you have to do three events at the weight.
Oh, got it. Okay. So all of our age groups have qualifiers.
Yeah.
Hey, but before we get too far from Wes Roberts and Insta-Death, someone wants to know in the chat, Ben. James Martinez said, could Ben get the Insta-Death over Wes Roberts today?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure this dude hasn't been on a mat. I'm going to ride him for hours if I want.
Wow. Could you have insta-deathed him back then? If the goal was...
I probably could have because I don't think he could have gotten away from me very easily. But I was probably letting him go because I was wanting to get bonus. I failed in turning him. I couldn't turn him, which was highly frustrating. So I was probably letting him go. You know, the first one, he actually got the first takedown on me. And I came back and I got a few takedowns. I think I won like 8-5 or something. And the next one was like, I say 6 or 7-3. And then NCAA's was like 6 or 7-3, something like that. So I feel like that's about right.
Yeah. Tyler didn't know you had wrestled at the NCAA level. So we were watching some of your highlights yesterday. Yeah. We watched your match against Herbert and Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, nice.
He's on board. He thinks you're pretty legit. Yeah.
All right. Sweet.
I had no idea. Though,
sweet, Tyler.
I didn't know your level, Ben.
He's good. He just knew all you from your ADCC performances.
He's like
the jiu-jitsu guy? I'm like, yeah.
Oh, my God. You guys are dorks. Scott, I'm getting all the numbers. Scott Cleaver says we have 4,139 wrestlers at the qualifiers.
Oh, the qualifier level.
Oh, my gosh.
Can't believe we have 4,800.
You're steaming
them up. We have 4,800 in our qualifiers. What are you doing, man? Yeah, 4,800. It's on the rise.
Hey, someone actually asked a question about me wrestling Marcelo Garcia, grappling.
Yeah.
People try to party on me for that. And I think you people are idiots because yeah. like, listen, I was like 7 months into my jiu-jitsu career and I wanted to roll with literally the best guy in the world. He smoked me so bad. He was so freaking good.
Yeah. Marcelo's like, what the difference was. He's kind of like John Smith of jiu-jitsu.
Yes. Yeah. He was ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
And he was just steps ahead of me. Like I just, you know, I was 7 or 8 months into jiu-jitsu and it was so much fun. Like, watching, I love feeling like how good someone can be. Like I had rolled with other really high level black belts at that point, and like I got beat, but I didn't get killed. And then you roll with him, and you're like, oh my god, like this level exists. This is so ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm obviously not a big. Yeah. I have somewhat knowledge, but not a ton. But everyone said that Marcelo is like every jiu-jitsu person's favorite jiu-jitsu athlete. Like,
oh yeah,
he's like just the legend. Anyway,
he was so good.
Yeah, he's good. All right. What next? Are we talking ADCC trials next, or do we have
any? Oh, no, I will get into it.
Come on, man.
Let's go.
JD has 4 picks written out for this duel. You want me to read them out?
I think we should do the whole duel, though.
Okay.
Okay. Right? It's the premier duel of the week. I will say, though, I don't think it's going to be as close as Christian does.
Who do you think wins?
I feel like Christian, that there's a whole bunch of toss-ups. Now, like Oklahoma State and Oregon State, those toss-ups could potentially all go in one direction. But there are a whole bunch of toss-ups.
There are a bunch of toss-ups, so it could be close. But when I was going through it, I just leaned Iowa pretty much in every toss-up.
Weird.
Wow.
I know, weird.
Right? I haven't done this yet, so let's see where we go.
What do you think?
25, JD. Who you got?
Toss-up, but I lean Ayala.
He was out last week, sick. Week before, not the best performance, got it done. I don't know. I haven't seen the offense. Well, are we doing the line or are we doing the picks?
Oh.
Yeah, what do you want to do?
What's the line? 1.5?
-1.5.
-1.5.
For Drake.
Ayala.
For Drake, yeah.
I got Troy covering.
Could definitely be a 3-2 match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could definitely be a 3-2 match. I'm going to go Drake, but with a little of confidence.
Yeah, same here.
But you're taking Drake to – you think Drake wins if you have to pick a winner?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, Christian doesn't know what to do.
I don't.
You picked Spratley to cover, so you're picking a Drake Isle 1-point win is what you're picking.
Yeah.
Okay. Very specific.
More important, I'm prioritizing the pick-ems pick. That's where I'm putting most of my brain energy right now. Okay. I only have so much to allocate. So that's where I'm using it.
All right, 33.
Who do we see? Easy. Teske or Shriver? Who do you predict?
It doesn't matter, right? I don't think it matters.
I think it matters.
I mean, he majored Teske. Really? Dayton majored Teske last year.
Did he?
Yes.
Okay.
So I think it's Dayton major either way.
Yeah, I think he's pushing for that.
I agree fully.
I think Shriver
41, the line is negative, Real Woods -3.5 over tagging Jameson.
I got tagging covering that.
Give me Real. Real's back on.
I kind of feel, I'm going to go with Christian. Real has not looked great.
Took some time off, came back, got a pin.
Come on, bro.
Against Felix, Wisconsin.
Come on.
Latini. Oh, stop.
Why are you going to bring that up? Because if you bring that up, then we got to bring up who the heck you wrestled.
But. Yeah, come on, bro. That guy's should not be in a Division I lineup this year. Yeah, I'm going Tegan Jameson. Yeah, he's 2-14, JD. Come on, bro.
On the note of 133-141 for this duel, Actual Cannibal asked us on Twitter, should Dayton bump up again on Sunday?
Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be so awesome. I don't think it makes sense. For their
well, line.
Why take?
Does Oklahoma State have a 33 that could beat Brody Teske?
Could Reese Whitcraft do it? Yeah, would he?
I don't know.
That's a toss up. Why roll the dice? Why take away a guaranteed win? This isn't Josh Edmond. This is Real Woods.
Yeah,
like you could go from worst case.
When Josh Edmond was 2-1.
Worst case is a split. No, it would be a disaster if they bumped him. That will not be considered. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing here, Christian, would be at 41. I mean, as you know, Brill's had a couple losses. If Jameson can sneak one out, that'd be huge for NCAA seeds.
Yes, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Etchemendia, which is Jameson did. Obviously, Etchemendia has had a great year and wrestled really, really, tough, What's up, Giggles?
Oh, I just got burned by one of my teammates.
Oh no!
I asked one of my teammates who I thought knows Wes Roberts. I said, "Hey, where does Wes Roberts live and what does he do for a living?" Just trying to get some information.
In your head.
He wrote, "According to Bader, he lives rent free inside your head."
That's a fact.
Ah, he got me so good. Dang it all!
It's so true. Freaking Wes Roberts. Yeah. Now he's taking your literal job.
Dang it all. 49, Jordan Williams.
Hey, but you think real wins?
Yes. Close.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Oklahoma State gets one of 25 or 41. I don't know which.
Okay.
Really? Why do you think that? Just because odds or
how Drake and Real have looked recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next match, Ratchie and Jordan Williams.
Oh. I lean Ratchie
also.
Is this, do we have a line for this or this is just for funsies?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Who's Tyler funsies. Got in this one? He's been breaking down the film.
Man. I haven't watched either of these guys wrestle that much. Jordan Williams does some cool stuff though.
He do. I think this is a good matchup for Ratchie. I like him to win this one.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I think it would be an interesting chess move to throw out Alvarez in this one.
Why do you think that?
Well, you know, I listen to FRL and I hear about Caleb Ratchie. He doesn't know how to scramble. He doesn't know what to do when a guy's on his leg and this, that, and the other. And I think, well, geez, I know what Sammy Alvarez knows how to do. He's a really good scrambler. And if what Ben Askren says is true, this would be a nightmare matchup.
You got to be a good shooter to get to their legs to force him to scramble.
Maybe you let him in, right?
Maybe.
There's...
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Williams is a pretty solid scrambler in his own
That's
right.
That's true,
I
too.
Say.
That's a very good point.
Got some good moves.
Yeah. Maybe you throw out one for the first period and you throw out Alvarez for the second and third. Tag team.
Is that legal?
What if you could do that? One? Oh, you could tag team one?
Penn State would really dominate then.
Yeah. Finally, they could get off the losing slide they've been on. Okay, 57.
You got Frannick and Teague.
Yeah.
Fun one. But another kind of toss-up, but I lean Iowa.
Yeah, that is
Well, we gotta pick him here. It's -3.5 Frannick.
I go Travis covers.
I'm going to go Travis covers.
Yeah, I think Travis covers.
I heard his father was a renowned chiropractor.
He is, man. Brooks is awesome.
He comes from good stock. That means a lot.
Yes. And Brooks wanted to correct me. He did not pin everyone in a headlock at the Kansas State tournament. There was a couple cradles in there, too, he said.
Okay.
But they were all first period, in fact.
A cradle's really just a fancy headlock, you know, because you still have the head locked in there.
It's a headlock with a leg.
Yeah, it's a headlock with a leg. It's not really different. That's why I always like Ben Askren's best move was a headlock.
Oh, you guys are hilarious.
He's put his own little twist on it. Okay, 65. What makes this interesting is Caliendo won 7-2 last year in this.
60. Beat the tar out of him.
6-2 is a tar beaten.
2 takedowns to none and over 3 minutes of riding time. He insta deathed him.
Oh, almost insta deathed him.
2 escapes.
Will Olenek take the mat? So here's the thing. On the one hand, that happened. On the other hand, Olenek is indisputably better this year. I still lean Caliendo though.
Same.
And I don't have is this a pick'em?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the line? Pick'em?
Pick'em.
I think it's kind of an easy one.
I feel the same way as you guys. I'm leaning Caliendo for sure.
Yeah.
He actually looked pretty good against
Hamidi
last weekend. I know he lost, but he went hard. He came back against Mitchell. You know, the Olejnik's got a couple of tricky weapons, but I think
you know, Olenek beat Hamidi.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
What's that?
Olenek beat Hamidi this year.
Yeah.
You're saying Caliendo looked good in a loss, but he still lost. Olenek won. Yeah.
Is Ben just taking all my picks also? Is he?
I'm not. I'm opposite of you on one.
You pick Spratly to cover.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's next? 65.
Did you guys make a decision?
I got Caliendo.
We all went Caliendo.
You all went Caliendo. Okay.
Ben wants Olenek.
Right there. Okay, Ben wants Olenek.
Thank you. 74, Braden Thompson versus Patrick Kennedy. I say this is a match. JD laughs at me uncontrollably.
This is a match for sure. Brayden Thompson is an overtime expert.
Yes.
It's going overtime.
It says close, but Kennedy.
Oh, my gosh. JD.
Well, I'm picking Kennedy also. But
make your pick, Christian, before you start partying on me.
Is there a line?
No.
There's no line.
No. We're just doing pick for this one.
Okay.
Guess how many overtime matches out of 16 that he has this year?
Seven.
Six.
Dang.
That's a lot of overtime matches, dude.
This guy just loves wrestling so much. He's like, 7 minutes is not enough. That's why I love Will Luan. Because he's like, he loves wrestling that much. He's like, I'm willing to not wrestle for these 7 minutes just for the opportunity to wrestle.
Even tiebreakers.
2 minutes, 2.5 minutes.
Don't look at me.
That's the spin zone that you won't make, and I don't know why. I'm trying to give you ammo here, and you won't use it, Tyler.
Too funny.
I'm not talking about this.
All right, fine.
Talk about too much.
Yeah.
All right, I got Kennedy, but it will be competitive, close, one takedown or overtime match.
Mm-hmm. Braden losing to Tate Piccolo does take a little bit of momentum.
From his wings.
Yeah,
That was wild because he killed Piccolo earlier this year in the first Bedlam, and then Piccolo had good in high school obviously, but he's been getting kind of smashed this year. Peyton Techfold him. He got whooped by someone else. Who was it? I'm blanking right now. Oh, it was Max Mailer from Wisconsin that I saw 12-1. So yeah, he was not having a good year, but that's a good win for him.
It is. I'll take Kennedy to win this one.
Mm-hmm.
Close.
84 potential to be the match of the duel.
Man,
if we get what we want.
They got to use Gabe here. You have to do
it. They got to, don't they?
How do you not? There's literally no reason not to because it doesn't mean anything if he loses.
My prediction is if they have the duel locked up, which if it goes how I have predicted with Iowa winning the toss-ups, I don't know if we see it.
I see you said that before the show, and I can't understand how that makes any sense. There's no reason. I get it. Like, there's no downside to using him, even if you're not going to use him at NCAA.
We should add this to the sheet. Will Gabe Arnold wrestle or not? Yes or no?
Yes, without a doubt.
No, these guys probably have inside information. I'm not making that bad.
I don't have any inside information.
I actually have Iowa winning. To this point, I got Iowa winning 6 to 7 matches.
Yeah,
that's 67 crazy. Matches.
Six of seven.
Only
six 10. Of seven.
Oh.
That's
oh
what I'm saying, too, which, and at that point, duel's locked up. I'm just saying I'm not getting my hopes too high to see Gabe Arnold versus Dustin Plott.
Why lose a match that you can win or make competitive? Why send out someone that's
I don't know. I don't understand the card they've played with Gabe really this season. I don't know why you don't use him against Penn State. You use him against Wisconsin. I don't know. Yeah. So that's kind of just where I'm at, where I'm like, yeah, I think we probably see him, but I'm not surprised if we don't, especially if the duel's locked up at this time.
I think we see
him.
I'll shed a single tear.
It would be dumb not to use him because this is their last opportunity. There are no more opportunities. It's the Big Tens, and if he was going to wrestle, then he might as well wrestle. So, like, why are we going to leave one out there? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Coach Dresser canceled the Last Chance Open, so I don't know what else.
He did?
Yeah. That's a tragedy.
That is a tragedy.
Best tournament of the year.
What, did he do it because all of his guys got enough matches? So he's like,
yes.
We're not going to help other teams.
Yes.
We'll cancel this.
Kind of smart.
How much ahead of time would you have to schedule a Last Chance? Like, could someone who's got not as many matches say on, say, Monday, the 26th, say, hey, guys. Last Chance Open, 3 p.m.
I literally think you can do that.
Didn't Real do something like that?
Yeah.
When he came back for Pac-12?
Really?
Before he came back for Pac-12?
Yes. Like he wrestled. No, he wrestled after Pac-12. Wait. I think that's what happened. I think he did conference. And then
I'll look it up.
No, that can't be right. That might be right, though.
And it was something like in the wrestling room at Oregon State or something like that.
Yeah, check that out.
I can't remember for sure, but there was something. Because he had only had like 3 matches or 2 matches.
Why do I feel like he did
it? Yeah, you're right. It was after the Pac-12s. He wrestled 2 matches against Jose Landon from Cal State Bakersfield. And he won by fall and technical fall. So he had the three conference matches. He wrestled those two extra matches, which only gives him five. So that's weird. And then the NCAAs.
Well, I think for that year, five was like a magic number or something. Hmm. But
got it.
So that's not a full on event. That's wild. But you can do some stuff.
Yeah. That's
honestly
crazy.
There's kind of a lot of guys who could use something like this.
Yeah.
You know, who are like maybe would potentially be auto qualifiers but don't have the 15.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. I mean, injuries happen, but not having 15 matches.
There's kind of a lot of people.
I know.
That aren't going to meet that threshold.
I saw something like Aaron Brooks has like 80 wins. And he's been wrestling.
In his whole career.
Yeah, something like that. He's been wrestling 5 years. I know one of them was the COVID year, but just not a lot of matches for someone that you don't think of Aaron Brooks missing a lot of time.
Yeah, he's 80-3.
80-3.
Well, if I remember correctly, you know, Penn State generally doesn't do a ton of tournaments. They maybe do like one or two of those small ones early. And,
yeah,
you know, I think he just skips those or something, or, you know, maybe hasn't wrestled in those. But it is totally crazy because you think, okay, to this point, Aaron Brooks has had four Big Ten championships and four NCAA championships. So that's a minimum of, he did not have the NCAAs the first year. So four Big Ten championships, three NCAAs. So we're talking, that's like 30 matches in and of itself, just those tournaments. So he only has 50 other matches in five years.
Cale Sanderson was 159-0. 159 matches. How many matches did you wrestle, Ben?
I think I was 152-7.
Okay.
So 159 also. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that's, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not unique to Aaron. Most wrestlers' numbers of matches are down. Okay, we were at 84. Yeah. I think they use Gabe. So let's talk about that match. Yes. Are you giving Gabe Arnold a shot in this match?
Yes.
Me too.
I think it'll be close, but I think Plott wins.
I agree.
Yes.
I think Plott has a lot of offense, a lot of ways to score. He needs to not play Gabe's game, which is limited chess match type of thing. I think he needs to really fire. And
he usually does that. He wrestles hard.
Yeah, I know, but sometimes you'll see him not. But for the most part, that's how I would describe Dustin as well.
JD, would you be able to set a line on that match? Off the top,
it would be Plott 2.5 or 1.5. I would probably have to go 2.5.
I would too.
That makes it tough.
I'll take D Plott.
Are we doing this?
No, this is just hypothetical.
This is just for fun.
Oh, no, okay. We can do it.
I would go Plott.
Oh, okay. Let me write it down.
And then I would go 2.5. Poof.
Oh, that's close. That's
I
good
would go
line.
Arnold cover. I'll take Arnold with 1 or 2. Plus potential.
I think I'll go Plott. Plott's been really good this year, and he actually generally does not have super close matches. Now I got to look it up to confirm.
He did with Bennett Berge.
That's how I feel.
He had a crazy one with Bennett Berge.
Oh yeah, he did. But then he smashed Feldkamp, for example, beat him really bad, 17-3. He beat Clayton by 6, which Clayton's hard to score on. He did have a close one with Trey Munoz, but that's one of the best guys in the country. But 10 points over Reese Heller, 5 points over Dylan Fishback. Yeah, I feel comfortable with the cover. 4 points over Lenny Pinto, although he did lose to Lenny Pinto also.
Pinto's a beast.
That.
Would you go
Pinto's
CP?
A beast.
I'll chase Ben and go opposite. I'll go Gabe.
Arnold?
I switch up.
Oh, you just switched your pick just to be opposite me. Yep. Good. That's exactly where I want you.
We're at that.
Exactly where I want you.
We're at that point in the year. I actually don't really. I didn't feel that strongly about Dustin anyways. It was sort of a trick. So it worked again. Because you just copy my picks, which is smart. And so I just put out a little diversion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 197. This is another one where coming into the year, you'd be like, Glacier versus Cerber is like a next topic match. And now I think Glacier is clearly the favorite when we wouldn't even have discussed this match.
Yes.
So I think the match dynamic here is Glacier's offense versus Cerber's counter ability. Cerber's really good leg passer, etc. So there, I set the table.
I go Glacier.
Yeah.
Get glazed.
Oh, man. Feels like I should go Glacier also. Yeah, that was it is so wild that you think about, you know, he's had 4 years at Iowa prior to this year and no one saw this one coming. Yeah, he's been really good though. I'll go Glacier.
They locked him up. They locked him away. Just been keeping him
in the dark
Carver room. Yeah, Yeah.
Well, he lost to Colby Franklin. I mean, he lost to Colby Franklin and Andrew Davison last year, so it's like they put him out there a couple times. He just wasn't that great.
I started the pick 'em season picking against Glacier in that Broderson matchup and was just totally disgusted with myself. So I don't know. Do I want to just?
But this isn't a pick 'em, though.
Huh? This is not a pick 'em?
Not a pick 'em.
I'll take Cerber in this one.
Okay. Heavyweight, Ben Keeter, Connor Doucette.
Or Bradley Hill. Should be
Keeter. I think I said this. I wanted to say on this last show. I don't remember if I said it or not, but I don't think Ben Keeter is that much of an upgrade over Bradley Hill. Bradley Hill's actually had a pretty solid season.
I don't know. Well, who's he beating?
I don't think he's beating anybody.
He hasn't beaten anyone.
All right, hold on. I'm gonna get it up for you guys.
I think Keeter's win over Tabor is probably the best win out of either of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's just the Big Ten's not that great because he beat the Wisconsin guy, Illinois guy, Purdue guy, Nebraska guy. He beat Cole Urbis, who's solid. I guess that's it.
Come on, bro.
Maybe not that great. Maybe
I think this is a Doucette decision either way.
An Iowa homer. Yeah, I think so. Probably Doucette decision.
I agree.
Okay.
So I don't know I didn't do the math in my head, but I pick
7-3.
Iowa in like almost all the toss-ups, so it's kind of an Iowa smash.
You guys picked Doucette over Keeter as well?
Yes.
Yeah. So I picked Fix, Plot, Doucette were the only Oklahoma State guys I picked.
Same.
How much do you value the home mat advantage, Benjamin? It's gonna be wild in there.
It will be wild. I've been to an Iowa Oklahoma State duel a long time ago.
Yeah, I was with you.
Yeah, I think I don't value it that much. You know, they'll get a couple calls, but I don't think it's gonna be enough. Maybe it swings one of the matches.
Ben, do you remember after that duel, driving back to Austin and how hard it rained and we all thought we were going to die? Do you remember?
Didn't we like pull over one time because it was that bad?
It was so bad. It was so scary.
Yeah, I remember. That was crazy.
I remember, and Bracky was driving, I think.
I don't remember who was driving.
And one time I was just sitting up front and I think I nodded off. And then I like woke up in a way, and whatever I saw, I was just sort of I thought we were about to like run into someone. I just started.
Oh yeah, that was when he was pulling off. Yeah, he was pulling off the road because it was so crazy.
And I was literally just like screaming at Bracky. Bracky's like, "CP, it's fine, man. We're good. It's okay." He's like trying to calm me down. I was like out of my mind. So I remember that vividly.
So funny.
Anyway, that was like 2017. Yes, it was 2017.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a stat that's like maybe somewhat interesting on topic is the Cowboys lead the series all time 29-25 and two ties, but at Oklahoma State, Oklahoma State leads the Hawkeyes 15-7, 15 wins.
That's another fun stat for you. Iowa has won 7 of the last 9.
That's also another stat.
These stats are getting funner and funner, boys.
I know,
but.
What that? I mean, that argues right there that home made advantage does make a difference when you hear those stats.
Yeah,
you need to look maybe when
they
wrestled.
Yeah, it also could just be like when the teams were good and when like up and down.
Yeah, but you think over the course of
20
some matches, it would even out, right?
Yeah, no, you would.
You'd hope.
2019 was crazy. Had the Spencer pitch, then Dayton. DeSanto, that was a crazy duel as well.
This is the first time I was gone to Stillwater since 2019 because they wrestled in Texas in 2022.
Oh, that's right.
The battle. They
wrestled
at the ballpark.
Ballpark back to back, right?
Back to back. No, they wrestled Michigan.
You're right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think it's gonna be close. What makes it? Here's the thing. I feel like. There are a lot of toss-ups that lean Iowa. I agree with that. But I also feel like Oklahoma State has the only sure things in this duel with Dayton.
That's correct.
Dayton's a sure thing. I feel Doucette probably.
Yes. I'll give Keeter a shot.
I give Keeter a shot. I give Gabe Arnold a shot, obviously.
So but, I feel like Dayton's almost the only sure thing.
Okay, so there's one sure thing, and it's Oklahoma State. And that matters. And I just, I don't know.
Jason Hildreth in the Facebook chat also points out.
Huge Oklahoma State homer.
Is he?
Yes.
Well, he said the Cowboys have been winning the toss-ups all year, which is kind of true.
It is totally true. NC State.
Oklahoma State, they won four overtimes, I think.
In Missouri. I don't even listen. That wasn't pretty. They've been really good this year in dual meets.
Yes.
So yeah, good point by Jason. All right, what's next? We got a lot. There's a lot of duels.
There's more pick'ems if you want to go to.
Well, Fridays. We should just do Carr O'Toole now. We got to talk about this match.
Do it.
Such a big match. Biggest individual match of the year, maybe. Again, it's so rare you get rivalries like this that where you get to see them four, five, six times potentially. It's going to be incredible. And JD made Keegan a pretty significant favorite. In my mind, 2.5-point favorite.
This is just you guys trying to get me to lose because you know I'm picking Keegan no matter what.
No,
so I don't think it's a good line. Kindly to this JD.
It also has to do with the fact that he beat him by 6 points in the NCAA Finals.
I know that. That is true. And David Carr, won the first two. 6 points. Those two offsetting penalties. We're back to pick them. That's how I would do it.
That's kind of how I think too, but it has seemed to me this season that the public perception has not included David Carr in the 165 discussion the way I feel like it should. It just seems like Mitchell Messenbrink comes on the scene and all of a sudden everybody's just talking Mitchell versus Keegan, not even mentioning Mitchell versus David Carr.
That's because that's more of the Wisconsin, the Ben thing that makes that their teammates, same high school, and there's a lot of reasons that's
part of that. But
he wrestles for Penn State, which can make every conversation sort of outsized.
True. I feel like personally, and I could be wrong, that David Carr is not amongst the casual fan being included in the 165 discussion as much as I feel he should be. Because I also think this is a very close toss-up match.
But I also think these lines aren't actually for the public. It's for us. So the balance we shouldn't be lumped in with the casual.
So if Keegan is a 2.5-point favorite, do you think Carr covers?
Yeah.
I'm saying.
Absolutely.
No, Keegan's going to get him.
This is going to be so tight.
You know, if it's going
to be a lot easier
if
he didn't have to beat him by 3 points. He could win by two or one and still win the pick'em.
Yeah, so my thing with this, it's like, all right, Keegan was able to adjust, and he figured it out in the third crack. Now it's like, when you're winning, how much adjusting are you doing? Now David's lost. There are a few things that Keegan threw at him that he now has to adjust to. I still think it's a tough matchup for Keegan, and I think it always will be. He won by six. He figured it out. Let's move on. I think this is going to be extremely competitive, and it's going to be David Carr's last home match. I don't know. I think he's going to be very tough to deny. I think it's a pick-em match. Yeah. But since I'm getting points, Carr is a very easy decision for me.
So I think there's two reasons why people have kind of leaned more Keegan. Number one, his performance at the U23 Worlds was really, really impressive, and he really had a good U.S. Open, also kind of smoked everyone except Nolf. And then two would be Carr lost to Julian Ramirez, which I think that was one that not a lot of people saw coming and maybe gave people pause. You know, he has obviously looked really good since then. I think it should be a pick 'em. I mean, I'm going to go Keegan no matter what the line is. So I think you guys are just trying to get one over on me here.
Remember when we were doing Spencer Lee lines and JD was making them like 16.5 and we were still like, I think Spencer covered this. He's going 18-0.
Those are the best lines.
Those are the best lines. Beyond a tech.
It's like rooting for insta-death.
Oh, man.
I don't think we actually had any that were beyond tech, but I think he was at 14.5 for sure.
No.
There was a couple times where like, we're for sure this is a tech fall.
Or it was like pin or not or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. So I, what, Ben, can you offer any context, anything, any interesting thoughts about this match?
No, I'm excited to watch it happen. David Carr is really good. I think that Keegan has the right recipe now. And so, I mean, I think you're correct in saying that the loser is the one that needs to make the adjustments. I mean, I think Keegan still tried to get better in other ways, but I think the person who loses is the one that is going to need to try to make the adjustments. So we'll see if any of those have been made.
Have you talked to Keegan about this upcoming match?
Yeah, we just talked 2 days ago.
Okay.
2 days ago.
Well, just
something like that.
And what's his like exact strategy for
it? Yeah, what's his exact strategy?
No, we're talking about, I think he's going to do the same summer camp as I am in Utah. So I'm going to do a Monday one. He's going to do a Tuesday one. So we'll get to see each other there.
Okay.
That's good.
Nice.
Yeah.
So are you inviting David to that?
Vector Wrestling Camps. They did a great job last year. I'm excited to go back. You know what? I love Utah. That'd be another place. Like Austin, you guys are getting a little dumpy. Maybe I'll consider moving to Utah.
Oh, after all that, you said you were going to talk. Austin's great.
I do love Austin.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that was crazy. Absolutely. Wait, so you guys picked Carr to cover?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not me.
Not.
Yeah, I know not you, Ben. Don't worry. Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like, Ben, are you going to give us anything? I mean, I don't want to give, but like anything technical, analytical?
I give you nothing. I just said he's excited for the match. Thinks he's got a good recipe. Let's go.
How different is the recipe? Are we keeping the same ingredients? We're going to throw in
just
a little
zip it.
Gluten. Well, I don't know, Ben.
Gluten free.
You're on the show. Offer something.
I'm good.
Let's. We skipped past Mahler versus Chittum. That's a pick'em.
Oh, that's just as juicy. how do we skip that one?
Oh man, Brock Mahler. Let's get a win here. I'll go Brock Mahler.
I think it's actually a decent matchup for Brock. I've got Brock.
Yes.
You know who JD's got.
You just copied Ben. That's crazy.
I got to go Big Chits. That's my guy.
Yeah.
Big Chits. I thought Chittum was coming around, but then who did he just lose to?
Downey.
That, was it Teague Travis?
Downey.
Oh, he lost Ryder Downey also. Yeah, I was surprised by that.
Yeah. It was a goofy match.
Mm-hmm.
If he had successfully gave him a spinal injury, I think he would have won, but...
Stop.
Downey was able to avoid that. And
I think we decided perfectly legal move, by the way.
Yeah, it's legal. It's totally fine.
Back to the Carr O'Toole thing real quick. Burger King of Kings on Twitter asked us, how does the quality of win change Big 12/NCAA seedings? For example, a one takedown win versus a major decision.
None.
No, if none. Whoever no wins
Big 12.
Big 12s will have the higher seed going into NCAAs despite who won the first one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, what was the last – sorry, I shouldn't have moved it on so fast. There's still plenty to be talked about for O'Toole and Carr. This is number 2 and number 4 pound for pound. When was the last time you guys remember a pound for pound matchup this high?
So Gwiz Snyder had to be like 2 versus 3 or something.
I looked it up actually for Gwiz Snyder. That was the,
cause David was number 1. No, he wasn't. That was 2016. What am I talking about? That was before Zane was crazy high.
Cause maybe
that was
his Alex breakout. Derringer.
Derringer was probably number 1.
Ringer was 1, Snyder 2, Gwiz 4.
Okay, who's 3?
Zane.
2-4.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Going into NCAAs.
Wow. Interesting. I wonder why. I guess he had a Stieber win. So, yeah, that one definitely is high up there. Imar Chinzo Part 4, their second NCAA final meeting, would be up there.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Where does this rank amongst just in recent memory greatest rivalries?
Oh, it's up there for sure. I mean,
yeah.
This many matches, and you know, it really has to be judged on the other side of NCAAs because it's still happening. Yeah. But just to have them, all the matchups happen, they all hit except for the scuffle time when Keegan was out smooching. But other than that, they've wrestled every other time they're supposed to. And
yeah. The only thing that could make it better was if Carr would have won NCAAs when he took third, right? Because he kind of got upset that year. So if he would have won 2, you know, then he would have been going for his third of 4 And, you know, Keegan would have been doing the same thing. So that would have made it a little better.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. I don't know. What am I missing?
It's
yeah, and then, I mean, I guess also if Carr wouldn't have lost to Ramirez, I mean, I think anytime either party loses outside of the other one, that kind of takes a little bit of steam off the top. So, you know, Keegan has the – he literally has – if you know, his freshman year, he would have redshirted being at wrestling because Corona rules. But besides that, he has no losses that are not David Carr.
You know, I wonder how high Dayton and Roman were when their first – after their second meeting at NCAAs. Ooh. I bet it was really high. Another one, they only wrestled three times, but it was incredible, was Nolf Imar. Nolf pins him. Ooh, the first time, kind of broke him. And then they had this crazy Big Ten match and a crazy close NCAA final, and Imar ended up winning. That was a great rivalry that I really enjoyed. Zahid Mark Hall had some fun back and forth because
the guitar smash.
Well, they had the headgear pull, which was like, you know, obviously contentious.
Controversy helps rivalries.
Controversy does help. And then, okay, what happened the next time? The next time they wrestled, that was at, I think they had like an all-star meeting in Zahid one. And then they wrestled at Rec Hall, and Mark played the guitar on him. He kind of broke him. And then they wrestled NCAAs that year, and Zahid kind of won handily. And then he smashed the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
That was a
phenomenal celebration.
That was good.
I'm Archenzo. A Facebook chatter says.
Yep, I said that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my bad.
But they're right.
Does a matchup have more hype if it's like a Snyder Gwiz where we haven't seen it and we only get to see it in the NCAA finals versus something like this where we'll have seen it five times leading into the NCAA
final? I think, well, you're obviously more excited for that singular match. But then when you look back at, like, the stretch of the series, I think the more they wrestle, the better, especially if it starts going different ways. Like, you know, last year was kind of controlled the first time by Carr. Second match, really close, goes to overtime. And then third match, Keegan wins. So you kind of got a little bit of everything there. So now, you know, how does it proceed? You know, if, say, Keegan were to win all the next three and it was not very competitive, then you would kind of feel differently about it. But if, you know, Carr wins here, Keegan wins the Big 12s, Keegan wins the NCAAs or something like that, then I think – you know, then it's 3-3 and you feel a little bit differently.
Yeah. Well, I would say there's a difference between, like, that's not a, then Quiz Snyder's not a rivalry. It's just a hype matchup. But this is a rivalry.
Yeah, correct.
But yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for, like, the anticipation of the match that you know you're only going to get it, you know, at the end.
All the marbles.
This is maybe not the best example right now, but like the Real Woods, Andrew Lears, it became kind of clear that was the matchup last year that you needed to see to figure out who the best guy in the country was. And so knowing you wouldn't get it till Saturday night, that made that a little more special.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't think of anything else. David Taylor versus Kyle Dake is like the
this hasn't reached that status yet.
Nothing will ever reach that status in my opinion.
Whoa, returning ever.
Returning Hodge versus guy going for his fourth.
Yeah, inconceivable.
What if it was Keegan versus Carter Cerachi next year?
Okay, that could.
Ooh,
I don't think it'll match it. I don't think Keegan's winning.
What?
Keegan's not winning the Hodge this year.
Carter could.
But it'd be a four, winning four, going versus going, winning five.
A guy going for his,
guy going for his fourth versus a guy who just won the Hodge.
I don't think it'll be as hyped as.
And a guy who's going for his fifth.
People will be more hyped for David versus Kyle. I will always believe that. Nothing will create that level of excitement.
But on paper, like, that would be a guy going for his fifth who is a return Hodge if Carter
won. Why would
it
not? And the weird thing is, I agree with you. But
those names don't ring out. Those guys.
But why?
Because it's like, look at the styles. Look at how David was winning. Look at what Kyle Dake had won three titles at three weights. They were friends, and that was like a well-known thing. And then Kyle Dake put his fourth on the line by going up into his weight class, and it was just.
You mean what Keegan is doing against Carter?
He's not winning the Hodge. They're not.
Carter
friends.
Could win.
You
the
guys
Hodge.
Have Hodge rankings up for this year? I was just going to look at them. Find them. Where are they at?
They're
look up 2024 Hodge rankings. Flow Wrestling should be the first one.
Second on college, I found it.
Do you think that you're a little bit biased now because they have so many world titles compared? Like between.
No, I agree. I agree with
absolutely
you.
Absolutely not. It was the biggest thing ever. I don't think anything's going to match it. I mean, Well, there's things I don't know that are going to happen in the future, but there's nothing I see on the horizon coming. Maybe if there's like a Bo Bassett versus Anthony Knox rivalry or something in 4 years, that could go crazy. But no.
I think to say it's not on the same level is like pretty wild. It would be a guy going for the only guy who will ever be able to go for his fifth title, going for his fifth title, who perhaps could be the returning Hodge winner, against a guy who's going for his fourth title.
Here's the difference. Sriracha isn't bumping up and putting it on the line, and Sriracha isn't the poster boy of Penn State like David was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Keegan is the one bumping up and putting it on the line the way Dake wasn't the poster boy of Penn State.
Well, listen, Keegan probably
Dake was the one bumping up and putting his fourth on the line.
Yes.
So it'd be like it'd be like Carter being the poster boy of Penn State and bumping up and putting his title on the line, not Keegan.
No, because Dake didn't wrestle at Penn State.
I know.
So what are you? That doesn't even make sense.
No, but I'm saying Sriracha is the one going for the unprecedented fifth, as like Dake was going for the unprecedented four different weights.
Yeah. Okay.
And Carter Sriracha, while he is maybe Penn State's most popular guy this year, they are producing those guys so frequently now. He is not the poster child of the program like David was.
Also, we'll see how the reaction to this. But the four-timer thing has a different sort of reverence now and stigma.
Yes.
Like at that time, Cal Dake was the first one to get one since Kale. And Kale was the first since Pat Smith. Since then, Logan got one. Yanni got one. We're probably going to have two this year. Might have another one next year. I feel like four-timer, I'm not saying, if something happens more often, it does lose its specialness.
Which is why someone going for their fifth title would be such a big deal.
It's just a not, it's just a, it's more of a, it's not that, it's hard to, I don't even know what it is, because there's only a few people that's even a possibility for it. You think Kale would have 22 if he just kept wrestling? Like, is not that special to me. It's like, it's hard to do, but like,
I think it's special because he's the only one who will ever be able to do it.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the case.
Yeah.
Even when you're winning NCAA titles, I mean, as referenced by Spencer Lee last year, even when you're winning NCAA titles, it's still tough to win more NCAA titles. So I do think the more in a row you get, the better.
Well,
got 23.
This is our 30-minute warning, by the way.
30-minute warning.
Yeah. We've been talking about this topic for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
It's very interesting, though.
I'm willing to move on as long as you guys...
Big Taylor was just lightning in a bottle that will never be captured again.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the numbers bear it out. Look at all the crazy stuff.
Hyperbolic.
Look at all the crazy stuff that's happened since 2013 NCAAs. No NCAA finals has ever been really close.
In viewership. Not close.
Is the highest by far.
Okay, but you're comparing it to an NCAAs that hasn't happened yet.
Okay. And I feel like I have a very good pulse on people's interests. And that's just my prediction. That's how I see it.
You don't think people would tune in to...
And there was controversy.
Keegan take on Carter?
Of course they will. But I'm saying it's not going to be like that.
It's not.
I'm sorry.
It's sad.
They do not have that kind of magnetism for people.
There's also controversy in their scuffle.
The match was contentious also.
Mm-hmm. So,
there could be controversy that maybe Keegan and Sriracha wrestles.
Maybe Keegan starts kissing girls again on New Year's Eve, and then who knows? All bets are off at that point.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't make sense. Maybe it's Carter's girl. You never know.
All right.
That's what we. If that happens, I'll retract my statement. Kissing Keegan, that's his new nickname.
Oh, my God.
Shout out. Shout out, Keegan. On.
Virginia Tech, NC
Moving
State.
On.
Actually, no, never mind. Bastida Elam.
Elam. That's
Elam.
I don't know why I said Elam. I know how his name's pronounced. That was crazy.
Do you?
Bastida Elam.
Is there a line?
-1.5 Younger.
Younger.
Yeah,
Younger. He doesn't score any points, man. Unless he's going against Rasmussen with the duel on the line, in which case he's an absolute savage.
He's going to he's gonna summon that beast. I'm going to go Elam. We could have a 1 point loss or a tie potentially, and I still win.
We need to, you know what, JD, you got to get more Missouri pick'ems in here.
This is gonna be my that's how you
and
guys
you got to really stack the lines, make them not even.
Yeah,
this is perfect. Okay, cool.
Next, Virginia Tech, NC State. In my opinion, duel of the week.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Iowa and Oklahoma State is it maybe
duels of the week of the
but like as far as rivalries go, this one's awesome.
The ACC duel of the week.
It's great.
ACC duel of the week.
Well, shock jock JD. It's gonna be crazy. Feels like NC State. Feels a little like in Oklahoma State, Iowa, in that there's a lot in the margins, but the ones in the margins probably you lean NC State in a lot of them.
And I feel like NC State's picking up some steam.
They look really good.
Yeah, at a good time, kind of like Oklahoma State.
We just got two pick'ems for this one. Kai Arini versus Sam Latona. Arini is -2.5 favorite.
This is tough. They're always, man, that's a lot of points for Kai. I feel like their matchups are always close. I mean, Sam won by a hair at NCAAs last year. The points make me want to take Sam.
I'm going to go Arini. Sam has looked a little off recently.
He has been off all year, I would say.
So
he lost to Wisenhunt early, and then he's been taking one weird loss. It feels like a month.
Yeah. So I'll go Arini.
I believe.
I will go Arini also.
Oh, baby. I think I got one closer.
Now, Ben. Also, like, what are the odds that Kai Arini sticks his tongue out like a psycho? If he wins.
If he wins, I'd say there's a really high probability. I'd probably say 80%.
Overtime takedown, dagger to the heart of Christian Piles.
That would be a dagger. Then that's when I'm going to summon my inner Caleb Piles and be like, it shouldn't count for overtime.
I think Kyrene's tongue out celebration is maybe the best in the NCAA right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
It's up there. I like Raise the Roof, too.
Raise the Roof is for NCAA guys.
They have the best celebrations.
You think they have a celebration like training session? So they're like, after practice, they're like, hey, we need some good celebrations.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
That's Pat Pop's big thing.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, boys.
I thought you were going to say something after that. He's like, all right, boys. That's all he says.
Yeah, that's it. You know what time it is.
Didn't Ridge do a fun celebration after like beating Henson or something?
He did that. Well, he did this.
No, this season.
Oh.
I don't remember.
I don't remember that.
Maybe I'm misremembering.
He was pointing right into cameras. No, or was that? I don't know. There's a lot. That tournament.
I remember it was like kind of controversial because people were like, celebrating after like a one-point win or something like that.
And then he called us out on in his post-match interview for picking against him when we all picked him.
Oh, yeah.
After all, only Ben believes in me. It's like, bro, I picked you to win the tournament. Maybe it was at us.
Kozak said he likes it when Trent punches himself in the face as well.
I don't like that. He did it after he lost to Caleb Romero at NCAAs last year, and it was like...
But that wasn't a celebration.
Okay. Well, I don't like it.
I like it when it's a celebration.
He hit himself too hard that time. I didn't like it. And he did it too many times. I did not like that.
It's a celebration.
Being a wimp. It doesn't hurt me.
You're being a wimp.
My favorite was...
It's called empathy. I'm worried about a person, Ben. You should try it, you cyborg.
One time he punched a chair in celebration and detonated. Blew it up. Yeah,
it exploded.
It exploded?
Literally.
I think
that was definitely worked on in the celebration practice.
Yeah. Hey,
what if it was a prop chair?
Like, Pat, where's the exploding folding chair?
Trent's just the man because he's raw emotion.
I
literally think he should smash the chair every single time he wins.
Yes.
I would love that.
He should have a designated smash chair.
What if they had like one of those folding tables for like guys to just jump on after they win?
Yeah.
What if
NC State had a designated table guy that gets slammed through the table every time they get a big win? No, every time it's the pin table, and every time you get a pin, you have some guy that's just getting yeeted through the table. Yes, that would be awesome. That's free.
Somebody in Raleigh will volunteer.
Someone will do that. Keith Gothard may get Little Rock on board with this celebration.
Until you get rocked up.
Good.
That's a good idea. I stand by it.
The only other pick'em for this one is Henson Arrington. Henson -3.5.
Too many points. Arrington.
Arrington's looked really tough. I really like Henson though.
Close.
I think it was
2.5. I'd have been more nervous. 3.5. I feel good. This is gonna be close.
I'll go Arrington to cover. Concur. Henson to win.
Wow, Ben copying CP this time.
Not surprised.
You guys have been copying each other a lot.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that duel anymore? We have 20 minutes.
Goes down Friday evening. It's always electric. It's at Reynolds, which is NC State's venue.
Oh yeah,
which has sold out multiple times this year. It's not a small. That's not a small feat to sell out that place. I think if you're looking for bitter rivals that really don't like each other, it's a great duel. So let's a quick run through of some of the matches that are like 65. No one cares about that match, but it's going to have, it's like a toss up between two sort of fringe qualifier type of guys. That's going to be a huge one. They're going to need Makai to get bonus. Virginia Tech will.
I think Cooper Flynn, Jacob Camacho is.
Flynn Camacho is so, is like, ooh, man, yeah, coming into the year, you all know who I would pick in that matchup. But now, given the year they had, but Camacho looked pretty good last week. That's an interesting
Crook
one.
Jack.
Crook Jack.
That'll be fun.
Am I tripping?
Jack's the favorite, of course, but Crook can always make it interesting.
Has Crook ever beaten him? I know he's beaten
Lachlan. No, he's never
probably
beaten him.
Probably not.
Okay, so yeah, I would favor Jack, but you know it's going to be close. With
they had a 2-1 match last year.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Crook just he just beat Lachlan McNeil.
Yes, he did.
And lost to Cole Matthews in overtime. ACC's 141.
Did you watch that
Let's
match?
Fun, baby.
He,
which one?
Oh, Matthews Crook. He was so close, so many different times on these takedowns, and Matthews is just a tricky, slippery son of a gun, and got out of everything.
Matthew's coming into form now. He's beat a bunch of kind of good dudes. They're only beat Tom Crook, Lachlan McNeil, Ryan Jack, all three in a row.
I love Tom Matthews.
Dude, he's so awesome.
He's a cool dude.
Every time I've been to Pitt, he's been
awesome. He's the man. Okay. Okay, and then 49 we talked about. 57, man, this kills Tech not having Andonian here.
Yeah.
So I guess it's Olray maybe or – I don't think Hippolito's going 57. I think he's been used. I can't wait
Actually,
for him.
He did wrestle 57. No, Hippolito wrestled 57. I believe
they should use him. That dude, Ed Scott versus Hippolito will be a crazy match. Ed'll probably win
just for our entertainment. That's
yeah,
it.
I mean, honestly, not just our entertainment. I think it could be the move. Listen,
No, Hippolito just wrestled 57 in the duel against Pitt.
Yeah,
how many? I don't trust
Ben. That was 6 days ago.
Properly count this, but how many dates has Hippolito used?
Oh,
how do you spell his name?
Well, you said Midlands doesn't count. If you're saying Midlands doesn't count, then he's got one more.
There we go. Love it when a plan comes together. So unleash Hippolito against Ed Scott. That could be a crazy match. If that match happens, something crazy will happen. There could be a pin. It could be dominant for someone.
100%.
But it's going to be wild. We're going to be talking about that guy a lot more if I have anything to say about it after this year. Then 84 Fishback versus TJ Stewart, you favor Fishback based on the year he's had, but
Stewart just had a big win. Who did he beat?
Heller on a head scissors 2-1.
Okay.
Head scissors.
Yeah.
Head scissors is a weird one because sometimes they call it and sometimes they don't.
Okay. You always break down. What? Why should you not be able? Why can you figure four and not head scissors? What's the danger there? Or what's
honestly,
the
you should be able to head scissors. It's dumb that you can't.
Yeah. I've always been sort of too bashful to ask at this point in my career as working in wrestling. But like, why is that so bad?
I literally have no idea.
You can literally figure four the head in some. Yeah.
Well, you figure four the head in a pinning combination, and not anywhere else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't even know why you'd want to figure four the head anywhere else, anyways. Because like, say if you're doing a triangle choke, it's not like you can do a triangle choke without an arm. You can't actually do anything. I guess maybe just slow them down would be it. You know, in a pinning combination, you can kind of flatten them where they can't move all that much. But I don't know why either one of those are illegal. Honestly, and then, you know, the figure four of the body, they say, oh, that's so dangerous and whatnot. But it's like, well, but they do it all the time in jiu-jitsu, and that's not dangerous. So why is it dangerous in wrestling?
Do people actually say it's dangerous? What would be dangerous about it?
Yes. I'm not sure. The only thing I can guess is if you're trying to like turn them in a power half, but you have figure four and their lower half maybe can't turn. Maybe there's some danger there potentially. But other than that, I have no idea because it's used all the time in jiu-jitsu without any harm at all.
Yeah, couldn't tell you.
We have four more pick'ems. And we have 15 minutes. Right, we want to try to rush through
these. Let's go rapid fire on these pick'ems and then get to questions.
Rapid fire.
All right.
Yes.
Brock Mahler versus Ryder Downey. Pick'em.
Mahler. He's not getting turned.
Yeah. Got it.
Okay. Downey.
All right, Caleb Smith, Richie Figueroa.
Oh my gosh.
Negative 4.5 point favorite.
No. Yeah, this is too many points. I'm going Richie Figs. He's 5-5 this year. Richie Figs can't go under 500, so he might even get an upset, but he's not going to get beat by five or more.
He's been not good. But I'll go with – I'm kind of with you, Ben. I'm not. I still can't give
There's
up.
No way.
I can't give up the dream.
Copying Ben.
I'm going Richie.
I want to go Richie.
No, pick opposite me just to be opposite me,
but
please.
I'll do it. I'll go Smith.
Hey, you should do like a 1-2-3 countdown. We just all have to say our picks.
Okay.
That'd be good.
Parco versus Lovett. Lovett is a negative 4.5 point favorite.
All right, hold on. Don't
get your picks in your head.
Don't count yet.
One, Parco, two, three. Lovett.
Oh, hold on.
Lovett.
Parco.
That's the thing. Rapid fire. You don't get to think about it.
I was still processing what he said. I did. I was
Lovett 4.5 versus Parco.
Is it Johnny
Benson
Lovett?
Parco.
Is it Johnny Lovett?
Oh my god.
Is
Johnny Lovett.
Parco.
Stalling. Christian Piles.
Christian picks Lovett.
4.5.
I don't know, dude.
Parco.
Give me an answer.
Parco.
I already typed your answer.
Don't.
All right. Christian picks Parco. All right. Next one. No, you don't get to think. I get to count, and you say a name.
Okay.
Okay? Yes. This is a pick 'em. Ja'Cory Teamer versus Peyton Rob. 1, 2, 3.
Rob.
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 Okay.
Okay, tape delay, Ben.
I said Rob right when he said 1, 2, 3.
There's not that much of a delay. Classic Ben.
All right. That's all the picks.
Okay. Go to the inquiries from acquaintances.
The inquiries. Let's see. I should have teed one of these up ahead of time. Christian Stahl.
Hey, there's some in the top, too.
Also. There's some in the top.
Oh, wait, but I think we hit on
that. I read those already. So,
hold on. Let me look. I have a couple here.
Off the top of your
head. Matt Ramos starting to separate from the field?
I'm glad Ben.
No.
Yep.
I'm glad Ben can read. Absolutely not.
No.
No one is separating from this field. He is my pick. He has been for
he's the proven number one.
Couple months.
Not much separation there, though.
None.
Good question. Brooks and Heidley a lock to make the finals?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, the question is, in that actual question, is Trent Heidley a lock to make the finals? Because
he's a favorite. But
no, not a lock.
But close.
High likelihood. I mean, it's certainly my pick, but
Sloan can be tricky.
And 197 is deep also.
Mm-hmm.
Trent is certainly my pick to make the final opposite Brooks, but a lock? Do you know what the word lock means? This is a guarantee. It's not a guarantee.
I mean, if you were talking to Shane Sparks, he'd say a lock doesn't exist.
Exactly right. He said these guys aren't even qualified yet.
Yeah.
He's popped it, but he hasn't locked it.
Yeah. Soon he will drop it.
Oh, my God. Uh-huh. All right. Which current number one ranked wrestler would be favored against the field? I think there's
Carter
two
and Aaron.
Yep.
I would kind of say Greg in a way because like the field does not that there's like, I would say Greg.
He teched Wyatt Hendrickson.
Yeah. I'd say Greg.
Yeah.
Not 33. Not
maybe Parker would be the only other one you could argue, but I'd have a hard time.
Even that would
that.
Be tough for me.
Even that.
So yeah,
but he has beaten everybody, and he's got a really high bonus rate.
Yes. I'm not saying this. I'm not predicting this, but like.
You don't think he'd be favored?
He'd be your pick.
Field.
But odds-wise,
I could get all 32 and,
yeah,
and you get Parker.
I understand the frame.
That would be tough. I don't know if he gets it.
Yeah.
Explain it to him, JD.
Odds.
Probabilities. No. Yeah, that. Parker is the next one if there is another one.
Yeah.
Man, maybe. I can't say Levi. He's had too many close matches.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. Sorry, what were you
saying?
All
right, next one. Who is someone outside the top 15 that you guys would be willing to say will AA this year?
I'm going to disqualify 125. You can't say anyone at 125.
Yes, fair.
Man, I don't have the rankings memorized. I don't know.
Come on, just someone that you think
Richie
is
Figueroa.
Well.
That is 125. What did I just say?
No. I don't know the rankings. Next question.
Oh, come on.
I'm
going to
say Will.
You have a computer.
Will Gowan.
Actually,
I don't know
if he's outside the top 15 right now. He might be like
15. He's working on it.
Most likely.
Give him time.
Hey,
let's
chill.
See. Will Gowan. I'll tell you what Will Gowan's ranked. Give me
he's ranked 15, so he's not actually
outside.
Oh,
he's not outside.
Dang it.
Ryan Crookham's outside the top 15 pound-for-pound rankings, and I think he's going to place. So there's one.
Okay.
Somebody
Kale versus Aaron Brooks. Oh, this is fun. We've never done this.
All right.
Aaron Brooks, Kale Sanderson.
Relax. Kale Sanderson? What? You're talking about Kale
Aaron Brooks?
You're talking about Kale.
Aaron Brooks?
This man lost to Marcus Coleman a year ago, and you're going to talk. That's disrespectful.
That was a lucky match.
Here's a better question, because I saw this one. This is a better question. Someone texted me this. Senior year Bo versus senior year Brooks. That's a question.
Well, so I think it's okay question to say, not compare careers, but say at their peak, who would win?
Yes.
At their peak wrestling, correct, who would win? That is not disrespectful.
Let me be the first.
Aaron Brooks is a world medalist right now. Aaron Brooks is a world medalist. If you could beat David Taylor, that's about the same level Kale Sanderson was at. Right?
Let me be the first to publicly apologize to Kale Sanderson for this question.
I will not.
Kale, easily.
I want to see it.
Easily?
Easily.
Yes.
Easily.
He'll roll up to the mat in the robe, eating a bowl of Kale Sanderson Wheaties, and win this match.
Well, he didn't have his Wheaties yet at that time.
Oh, he was working on
it. Took him to win the Olympics.
I don't know if you have a thing for nostalgia today.
No,
like,
I don't.
Things in the past are much better than things in the present could ever be.
I do not think that at all.
That's what you said multiple times today.
I've never said that, actually.
You said nothing will ever be Dave Taylor.
Nothing in the current horizon.
And let's say Aaron Brooks, Ben Askren, both seniors.
He's way bigger than me. I was 174. He's a big old thick 197.
Were you not an 84-pounder at one point?
No, he bumped up to beat Roger
Kish. I bumped
up
one time to wrestle Roger Kish, and that was it.
All right, never mind.
What about Bo Nickel versus Aaron Brooks? That's actually super interesting.
That's a good one. That is super interesting.
I mean, you could, yeah. I think.
So then pick an answer.
I think Aaron.
Okay, now pick Aaron versus Kale.
I already did. And I also issued a public apology.
Who's very dismissive.
I have to, yes.
What do you think, Ben? Do you think it's Aaron or Kale?
I think Kale wins, and I think it's a very competitive match. I don't think nearly the way about it that Christian does. I think we're talking about a guy, Aaron Brooks, who probably could have been a world medalist last year had he been able to wrestle at the World Championships. He's beat a world medalist multiple times in Miles Amin. He's very, very, very high level, and I don't know why Christian's disrespecting him so much.
Walk me through the match. How do you think?
I think you're being disrespectful to Aaron.
Chris's face right now. He's
I'm just certain things
he's
I'm,
angry.
I'm not certain of. But some things it is certain to me. I don't know.
You know this man lost to Lee Fullhart after his college career multiple times.
What's that got to do with the price of tea in China?
Because I'm
about college wrestling.
I'm saying he wasn't untouchable.
Yes. Thank you.
And if he had somebody on his level like an Aaron Brooks, who is one of the pound-for-pound best NCAA wrestlers of the past 4 years, it's at least competitive. If not, he wins.
Okay.
Yes.
You can have that perspective. That's why we live in a free nation, you know, where the First Amendment is protected.
Now, again, I'm with Ben. I still go Kale, gun to my head, but...
Of course you do, because you're smart. There's no scenario you would ever.
I'm very nervous.
What? No, listen, they wrestle 10 times. They wrestle 10 times. I think Aaron's getting a couple.
Yeah. I don't hate that.
A better question is Christian. Kale versus Aaron right now. They strap him up, slap hands.
Man, Kale might have got better, though, in the last 20 years.
It's possible.
Probably got bigger.
Ben, if Aaron.
In Big Brother effect.
If Aaron won a couple of those, what do you think his path to victory is?
I think Kale can't get in on his leg attacks, and he puts pressure on him, and maybe Kale fires one off and he runs behind, probably. Maybe rides for a little bit. I mean, Kale, to my knowledge, and you know, you couldn't watch matches back then, but of the ones I did watch, he never got ridden. But Aaron is very difficult on top, and Kale probably hadn't seen, you know, the Penn State tricky rides yet, so he's not going to know how to deal with those. Maybe Aaron gets a takedown plus some ride time.
If you want to get real kind of tricky with it, wrestling obviously gets better as we progress. So theoretically, 22 years later, just the level of wrestling would be better.
I agree with that. But I also agree that some things just transcend.
Oh, you know what we completely skipped past is that Pan Ams are this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My fault.
What is Handsome Tuesday? Can you explain this to me?
Yeah. Basically,
yeah.
So basically, Nick Soriano has kind of returned to Instagram. So
okay.
A Nation celebrates. And he's doing a thing called Handsome Tuesday where
it's the best.
He just says something and it's sort of strange but also inspiring. And he has a different little twist. And you should just get on Nick Soriano's Instagram. And
you wouldn't get it, Ben.
You'll be all in.
I thought the Lakers hat was going to be a consistent theme.
I know.
But then the third one dropped. There was no Lakers hat.
Yeah, he didn't have his hat. I think he forgot.
So did he inspire you guys yesterday? Because yesterday, I don't. Yeah, 2 days ago was Tuesday. Did he inspire you guys on Tuesday?
Oh yeah.
We wish each other happy Handsome Tuesday.
Absolutely.
The highlight of my week now. Every week.
Every week it is.
We refresh Instagram, waiting for a Handsome Tuesday to drop.
Yeah, we had a.
Why can't you be handsome on Wednesday? Why do you have to be handsome on Tuesday? Well,
there's no one keeping you from being handsome on Wednesday, Ben. But Handsome Tuesday, it's
the idea of a Handsome Tuesday. It sets you up for life.
Yes.
A life of handsomeness and positivity.
Oh.
So as you can clearly tell, look at the set.
Yeah.
You could tell who's taking Handsome Tuesday seriously and who isn't.
JD's not.
No.
Hey, yo.
Look, he's perfect. Look at that shirt.
Well, it's a Thursday, so.
Mossy Oak Monster.
But it's true.
You're saying it's just an energy. You can tell who is
celebrating it. It's an energy. Yes, exactly.
JD was the first one to really start celebrating Handsome Tuesdays in the office, to his defense.
It's true.
Yeah, he's been wishing us a Handsome Tuesday. He's trying to spread
every Tuesday. I wake up, I toss a happy Handsome Tuesday in the chat, and I get ready to go.
He got his dog a haircut on a Handsome Tuesday.
True.
Look at him.
Send a cut.
Show that sole. Show the sole of those shoes. They're trying to zoom in on you. Okay,
look at them. Those soles are just split.
You've heard of split sole shoes. That's just one of them.
Oh my God!
Got the Riddell Johns on. All right, what else we got? Anything? I don't even know what time it is.
61. We'll get Soriano, Joey Silva, round one,
guaranteed because it's round robin.
It's all these weird matches. It's like okay,
Pan Am championships don't have much.
We could talk about Facundo versus Palacio. Like I don't understand what we're talking. Like,
yeah, if I were no Palacio was actually going to show up there, I would have showed up at 79 kilograms.
Ben's a few booking pounds. A flight.
I would have told Alex Facundo, bro, get lost. This is my spot.
You gotta make 79.
I
want to clarify to listeners, this weekend is the Pan Am Championships. Mm-hmm. It's not to qualify for the Olympics. That'll take place later next week. This is just for ranking series points, and you have country has to send somebody to at least weigh in there if they want to have somebody compete at the World Championships. So it doesn't have to be the same person, hence why you won't see RBY wrestle. He was originally registered at 57 for the championships, but has since pulled his name. But Mexico has a different person there. But RBY will wrestle at the Olympic qualifier next week because you have to place top two at that to qualify for the Olympics if you haven't already.
All right.
It is so silly that they do two in a row.
Yeah.
It is kind of weird.
Are there no more questions? I can't believe we're talking about this.
Why?
What is of relevant other than the game? The qualifier is good, but
Soriano and Pantaleo.
If Christian hates it, I'm gonna leave too because I got a lot to do.
I don't hate it. I want more questions. I don't
Christian
have to talk.
All right. A lot of people want to know in the chat and on Twitter. A lot of people want to know basically what needs to happen for Messenbrink to get the one seed at NCAAs.
It's simple. He needs to win out, win Big Tens. He needs Carr and Keegan to split.
And Carr wins both of them with the Ramirez loss?
He'll be one. Mitchell will be the one. He'll be undefeated Big Ten champion.
Mitchell will be the one if Carr wins both?
Yeah, he has a Ramirez loss. I think absolutely.
What if Keegan loses a duel, wins Big Tens? Big 12s.
He wins Big Tens. No, Mitchell will be – if Mitchell is an undefeated Big Ten champion and there's – a split there. I don't see any scenario he's not the one.
Okay.
And then it could go it's obviously
well, it could depends. Go Ramirez 3 and Carr 4 then also because
it could bump up.
Ramirez only have one loss.
So just because them Carr and Keegan splitting does not mean they're going to be the 2 and 3 necessarily if Mitchell wins out because Carr could get bumped up to the 4 because of the Ramirez thing. It all depends. I think it'll be sort of clear after conferences.
1 minute warning.
1 minute warning. We've been
if warned. Vito beats Crookham, could Fix get the one seed?
Of course. I mean, he will get the one seed.
Okay.
He'll be undefeated.
And
you don't think he could get the three? And they could get the one and two?
If no.
No.
I think they, all right. they'll and honor the undefeated.
Ben, if you if NIL existed while you were in college, what company would you have loved to get an NIL deal with?
Flow Wrestling.
Heck yeah.
Beautiful.
That's a great answer.
That is a great answer.
All right.
I want, before we sign off, we got a question about Army Navy, which was a fun duel last week, but this is my petition. They should do like what the football game does. And so this is the last week of duels, and then we have kind of a week off before conferences. They should take that week off, have the Army-Navy duel. You're the main event. They will never do it because it's an individual sport and you need to get your guys ready or whatever. But it's always fun how college football does it. And that week, Army-Navy becomes the premier college football event. Could be a fun premier college wrestling event the week before conference.
What if they did it like on a random weekday towards the end? That could be cool too. Just get it isolated.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, JD. I think you could do it. Hey, you could do it after conferences like Real Woods. There's no rules here. Do it after NCAAs. I'd love it. All right. I think it's time to go.
It is time to go.
We thank you guys so much for tuning in. 1,002 of these bad boys in the books. Remember we did the area code bit, but we can't do that anymore because there's no four-digit area codes. So now we have to wait till we get to 5 digits, and we can do zip.
We could restart.
Well, actually, plus one is like the international thing, and then the 3 digits after. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, maybe we'll do that, or maybe nothing at all. But we will be back Monday. Plenty to discuss it. Look at Ben; he hung up early. Tyler, when you make sure you dock him that minute.
Okay, I need that minute. That is my job.
Yep,
and I will dock him.
Tyler does payroll here.
Okay.
Thank you guys so much. Have a great week and good luck to all those state champion aspiring young men and women. Have fun.
Have a handsome weekend.
California is the toughest state to win a state title in.
And Virginia. Goodbye.